Father, we give you the praise one more time. Thank you and thank you for all you did for our nation. And thank you in anticipation of testimonies. For this service this morning, we ask for your breath. We ask that homes, families will be healed, will be delivered, will be liberated. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. See the people waving their flags and so excited on this day. I'm sure we might have a session where we can just show it briefly. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I welcome you to marital or relationship and marital wisdom. Give the Lord the praise. And this is part one. Our objective this morning is first of all to identify foundational truths about marriage. Number two, we shall understand the purpose of marriage. And number three, the wisdom unraveling relationship and marital wisdom. Foundational truths about marriage, understanding the purpose of marriage, and unraveling relationship and marital wisdom. Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 18, the Bible said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him." I want to start by way of introduction by saying that marriage is such an important institution that deserves more attention than what is currently given. Deserves far more attention. And I have so much to say that I'm wondering that just one service may not be enough. Also, I'll be saying things in this service that I would not be able to repeat in the next service. So I would like us to pick the package. If you're in this service, just ensure you pick the second service message. Marriage is such an important institution that deserves far more attention than is currently given. Now, why is marriage so important? Number one, marriage is literally as old as the creation of man. Marriage as an institution is as old as the creation of man. That is, it began literally when man began. Why is marriage as an institution so important? Number two. Marriage is so important that the relationship between Christ and the church is likened to the relationship between the man and his wife. The relationship between Christ and the church is likened to the relationship between the man and his wife. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 23 and all the way to verse 25, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husbands in everything. It's so important that God is comparing the relationship between the man and his wife to the relationship between Christ and the church. Number three, marriage is so important that it is found both in the first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible. The Bible began with God bringing the woman to the husband. Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 18, God saw that it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a help meet for him. That's where we started. And then he created the woman. And then you go to Revelation chapter 19 verse 9. And you are talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. Now, the way people handle marriage so flimsily, the way people handle marriage, in fact, people are almost literally changing wife like you change car and vice versa. The way people handle marriage so flimsily, it's a far cry from how God considers marriage to be important. And so, this is how important marriage is. Now, let us go to foundational truths about marriage. Number one, God is the originator, initiator, and founder of marriage. He is the originator, he is the initiator, he is the founder of marriage. We saw it already. Genesis 2 and in verse 18, God said, it is not good for the man that he should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. Originator, initiator, founder of marriage. Number two, marriage was instituted for the help, assistance, and succor of the marriage partners. Marriage was instituted so that the parties involved can receive help, can receive assistance, can receive succor one from another. I will make a help meet. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. When we come to the purpose of marriage, we may still repeat this. Number three, God caused the deep sleep. That number three, God caused the deep sleep to come on the man, So he can be allowed to prepare what is best for him without interference. God caused the deep sleep to come on the man so that he, God, can be allowed to prepare what is best for the man without interference. Genesis chapter 2 verse 21. And God caused the deep sleep to come upon the man. Maybe the reason why we have so much problem today is that people are not allowing God to assist them locate what is best for them. Maybe the reason why we have so much problem today is people are using various criteria to find husband and find wife. God caused the deep sleep to come on the man so that he can be allowed to prepare what is best for him without interference. Maybe if Adam was alive, say, make the leg like this, make the nose like this. Praise the Lord. Number five, or four now. The woman was created from the rib, taken from the heart, from the chest of the man, because she was created to be loved. The woman was created from the rib that was taken from, let's say, close to the heart of the man. You know, the rib is one of the structures that cover the heart and also covers the lungs. Taken from a rib, created from a rib that was taken from close to the heart of the man, because she was created to be loved, not created to be slapped, not created to be harassed, not created to be shouted upon. Genesis chapter 2 verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Created to be loved. Am I communicating at all? If you're a man here this morning, hear me. Your wife was not created to be slapped, to be harassed, shouted upon, bullied. Created to be loved. It wasn't the bone from the bone of the hand or the bone of the leg. So you can raise your leg and kick. So it's a bone from close to the heart. That is to show you the relationship. Number five, which will be the last for this service, and then we'll go to the next in the next service. The devil is agitated about God's plan and purpose for marriage. So he moves to antagonize. The stability of the home. The devil is always agitated about God's plan and purpose for the family. So he moves to antagonize the stability of the home. You know why I said that? When God created the animals, the devil did nothing. When God created the man, the devil did nothing. But after God finished creating the woman, you know the last verse of chapter 2? Genesis chapter 2, can you show it on 24:25? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and we are not ashamed. The next verse. Now the serpent. The moment marriage happened, serpent appeared. The devil wasn't threatened by the man. He wasn't threatened by the animals, but he was threatened by man and wife together. If you have this understanding, it will help. That is why when people just allow tension, they don't know that the devil is behind excited. The devil does not want the marriage to work. And today we have more of the agitations of the devil coming against the traditional home. All manner of alternative lifestyle, gay, lesbian, this and that. The marriage between man and wife is not necessary. It's all the attack on the home. But your home shall be successful in the name of Jesus. Is anybody getting anything so far? Fight for your home. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your family. Because the devil is agitated. Now, what is the purpose of God for the home? Number one is the release or the supply of companionship. Companionship and company. The release or the supply of companionship or company. It is not good that the man be alone. Your wife is meant to be your company. Your husband is meant to be your companion, not a tenant, not a housemate. Your companion, your company. The supply of companionship, the supply of company. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Is your wife your companion? Are you enjoying the company of your husband and vice versa? If that is not the case, a major purpose of the marriage is not being fulfilled. Number two, it is for the achievement of fulfillment and satisfaction. The achievement of fulfillment and satisfaction in life and destiny. God is saying life will be better if there is a man in the life of a woman in the life of this man, and there is a man in the life of this woman. Genesis chapter, Ecclesiastes, I believe, chapter 4 and in verse 9. He said, two are better than one. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. It is for the achievement of fulfillment, the achievement of satisfaction in life and in destiny. To give you a fulfilling life, to give you a fulfilling destiny. The husband is meant to contribute to the fulfillment and satisfaction of the wife. The wife is meant to contribute to the fulfillment and satisfaction of the husband. Every marital relationship where there is such a harassment, there is such dissatisfaction, frustration. Wife is not happy because of husband's behavior. Husband is not happy. It is a marriage that is not fulfilling purpose. And when I say satisfaction and fulfillment, I'm talking about satisfaction and fulfillment every realm, every realm, every realm, every realm. Maybe as I speak further in the message, I might become more elaborate. That is for the achievement of fulfillment and satisfaction. Number three is for the release and multiplication of potentials. The release and the multiplication of potentials. Where you bring out the best in the other person. The same Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and in verse 9. I will make an help meet for him. They are better than one. Two are better than one. That is, this woman became better because this man entered his life. This man became better because this woman entered her life. I know where I met my wife and I know where she is today. In terms of giftings, in terms of graces, in terms of potentials, in terms of development. I'm only saying this because examples communicate principles. I also know where I was before she met me. She has refined me a lot. Brings out the best. The release and the multiplication of potentials. That there is a gift you have that exploded. There is a grace you have that escalated. There is something inside you that grew. Any husband who is choking the graces in his wife is a mishusband. Choking the ability, choking the capability in the wife, and vice versa. This is very, very important. What is the purpose of the home, of the marriage? Number four, it is the release of the godly seed in the earth. The release of the godly seed in the earth for the population of the earth with kingdom seed. The release of the godly seed in the earth for the population of the earth with kingdom seed. The release of the godly seed in the earth for the population of the earth with kingdom seed. Malachi chapter 2 verse 14 to verse 15. Malachi chapter 2 verse 14 to verse 15. He said, yet you say, wherefore, because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, deceitfully, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And wherefore one? Why did he make them one? That he might seek a godly seed. God wants to seek a godly seed from the home. Therefore take it to your spirit. And let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. God is seeking a godly seed. He wants you to produce children that transmit kingdom principles to the next generation. And you see, the commitment between the husband and the wife and how they live with each other affects the turnout of their children. It affects it. Godly seed. Seed that are God-fearing. Seed that are serving God. Not that they are forced to serve God. They are serving God of their own volition because they see the genuineness in their parents, in their father and mother. The genuineness in the relationship. The neatness, the cleanness. Very, very important. When a marriage has produced children that are not godly seed, then a major purpose of that marriage has not been fulfilled. When a marriage has produced children that are non-God-fearing, children that are not transmitting the principles of their parents to the next generation, then that marriage has not produced a major purpose of the marriage. But that shall not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I hear a louder amen? Is anybody receiving anything at all? Or I'm speaking just to myself. Hallelujah. Now, let's step into relationship and marital wisdom. What wisdom should we operate in order for our marriages and our relationships to be successful? Number one, trust the Lord to guide you into the right relationship. Trust the Lord to guide you into the right relationship. That is for a start. In Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 5, and in verse 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord to guide you for a start into the right relationship. You know why God must guide us? Number one, or A, God is the originator of marriage. So if the marriage must have a future, God should originate it. God is the originator, the initiator of the home. You trust him to guide. Second reason is, God knows the future more than you know the present. He knows the future. A person may look good today, but you don't know what they will turn out to become tomorrow. God knows the future more than you know the present. And thirdly, God knows the content of every human being beyond their container. He knows the content of every human being beyond their container. That's why God must be allowed, he must help us, he must guide us. You know? One of the marriage classes that some of the young people do, the marriage class that we do here, in one of those marriage classes, one of the young men was so good, well behaved. Remember? You were the one who told me the story that they made him, he made him the class rep and well behaved. Most gentleman, well behaved in the marriage class. When he got married, it was not up to 1 month before he started to beat the hell out of his wife. They well behaved. Inside, some lamb looking people are dangerous lions. Very dangerous, very wicked. And then you will be wondering, how? And this is one of the reasons why there is so much problem in our world today. Many people just looked at the surface and looked at the container. And he looks nice, he looks gentle. That's why God must assist to guide. Trust the Lord to guide you into the right relationship. Number two. Marry someone who truly loves and values you as a person. Truly loves and values you as a person. Not someone who is in love with something you have. Truly loves and values you as a person. In Genesis chapter 24 and in verse 66, we saw how Isaac, was it 25:66? Isaac loved Rebekah and brought Rebekah into his mother's tent and loved her deeply, and he was comforted after the death of his mother. Beloved brothers and sisters, value can be discerned. While you are in the process of trying to cut yourself, if the man loves you and but particularly values you, you will know. Don't manage this. If he doesn't value you today, it won't improve tomorrow. If he doesn't value you today, it will only degenerate with time. Truly values you, truly appreciates you. And in the second service, I will talk about how the value can even be extended to value for your people. The one who is talking down on you today, shouting down on you in public today, and every single thing picking up a quarrel with you today, will deal with you tomorrow. That will never be your portion in Jesus' name. Number three, never marry anyone who is marrying your money, property, position, or influence. Never marry anyone who is marrying your money, your property, your position, or your influence. Never. And again, this is only God can make you to know this. Only God. I remember the story of a man who was with a girl in relationship. I don't think they were married yet. And they were in a filling station going to get fuel. And they had an attack from bad people. And the man was shot. While he laid in his pool of blood, this girl, quote unquote, maybe wife to be, went to the pocket of the man and picked the remaining foreign currency that was in the pocket of the man in his pool of blood, carried it and went her way. That was how much love he loved the man. Never marry anybody who is trying to marry your money, your property, your possession. This is also true for young ladies. That man that is coming around you because working class lady, you have a car, you have this and you have that. That man may deal with you later. And I don't want to mince words. One of the most challenging relationship types I have seen is where the woman is ahead of the man. Whether academically, mentally, financially, position-wise, is very, very challenging. Because in every way, men are meant to be ahead. And at times, women behave as if charm them. They say, love is blind. I love the man. You have a PhD. The man has secondary school certificate. I love the man. I'm not looking down on his qualification. But men are wired such that they have an ego. They have an ego inside them. When you get married, any single thing that happens, is it because you think you are a graduate? And he begins to exert his authority physically. He begins to look for how to fill the vacuum and the difference by harassment, by oppression, to show you he is the man. His inadequacy and deficiency, he's beginning to release it in other ways and make life unbearable for you. Is it because you think you come from a rich family? Is it because you think you have a car? Or is it because you think you are this and you think you are that? Let him try and marry somebody he is in front of that can respect him without force, without fight. Am I communicating at all? I am talking to you from over almost 30 years of counseling marriages and close to about 28 years of being married. That's what I'm talking from, not theory. Not theory. Everything may look okay now. And one of the worst things I have seen is where a man is waiting for wife to pay house rent. Waiting for woman to pay children's school fees. Waiting for woman to buy food in the house. You are no longer a man then. Pull your trousers and wear skirt. Wear dress. Wear gown. And I am not out here this morning to attack anybody, but to say the truth and to ensure that we stop suffering ourselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Just do your best. Under God. I cannot ask my wife, where is your contribution to food money? I can't. Children's school fees, what are you bringing? I can't. Not now. Before pastoring. I am not saying that if there is an agreement between a man and his wife to pull their resources together, it is bad. That agreement is possible. But where it comes to the point where the woman is carrying the burden of the home is an abomination. Wife is wearing cloth, you don't know how she bought it. Wearing shoe, you don't know how she bought it. Whether she is having some strange relationship outside and is supplying her, those things, you don't know. Is driving car, you didn't know how she bought it. It's not. See, so please, while we are in the process of getting married or into relationship, these things are very, very important. Never marry anyone who is marrying your money, marrying your property, marrying your position. Marry someone who loves you for you. He loves you for you. Like we saw in Genesis chapter 24 verse 66. There was nothing about Rebecca. Rebecca didn't come with that. I mean, Isaac just loved her for her. Not because she came with money or came with this or came with that. Very, very important. Please bear this in mind. Otherwise, it is a signature for frustration. Please bear this in mind. Oh boss, when it is time to marry somebody you are in front of. Marry somebody you are in front of mentally, spiritually, you are in front of. Potential wise, you are in front of. For your own sake and for the sake of that person. Or at least at par with the potential of going further. Or at least that path. Bear that in mind. For your sake and for the sake of that person. Otherwise, you know, like I said, the masculine ego is so strong that the woman shining too much in front of the man can become a challenge for him. That's why you must be shining originally. Somebody say amen. Can we go further? What number are we? Oh, my time is gone. Just number 3. All right, number 4. Be ready to love unconditionally and forgive continually. To love unconditionally and forgive continually. Don't be permanently looking for the fault of your wife or your husband. Otherwise, you don't have a marriage. To love unconditionally and to forgive continually. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 15, he said, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Love unconditionally and forgive continually. Don't be on the lookout for their faults. Try to overlook and ignore their faults. I have just one exception to this. And the exception is when a man or a woman practically wants to kill you, beat the hell out of your life. And then tomorrow you say, I'm sorry, I don't know what came on me. Whatever came on you, go and deliver yourself. Am I speaking to somebody here? I'm sure you know what we stand for. It is better to be alive without a marriage than to die because of marriage. That is a rugged, ruthless time. It didn't start today. 20 something years. Somebody to carry his hand and slap you and say, I'm sorry. The slap is a fixed deposit. Can he unslap you? Can he be unslapped? It's a fixed deposit. No. I'm not talking in that realm. Or you carry your mouth with all manner of unprintable words to your wife. Useless woman. It is your fault that it is my fault to marry you. Look at, since I marry you, bad luck. Did anybody force you? If you are tired, package her back to her family. It's so amazing how people want to live their life. Permanent pressure, permanent tension. As they are coming home, they are already angry. Not yet as they are angry with wife, angry with children. Good morning. Good morning for what? You are welcome back from where? What kind of life? Are you a madman? Even madmen know their children.
Are you a madman?
No. That is not. This, you should be coming home. Wife is running. Her children are running. Papa, oyoyo. Baba, oyoyo. They are running. They are jumping. Some of my most excited most time is when I'm surrounded with wife and children. You can ask them. Is just relaxation time, chill out time, enjoyness. Not enjoyment too. Enjoyness. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when it comes to a situation where a man is behaving, or vice versa, as if you are a liability in their life, both you and him should make a decision. So that it doesn't result in disaster. Very, very important. So when I talk about forgiveness and continuous loving, and I'm not talking about a situation of continuous, well, I'm coming to that shortly. Be ready to love unconditionally and continually. That is number 4. Let's go to number 5. Number 5, be committed. To the fulfillment and satisfaction of your spouse. Be committed to the fulfillment and satisfaction of your spouse. Not just in your satisfaction. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. He said, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Anything you want people to do for you, do for them. This is the law and the prophets. Listen to this. One of the worst destroyers of marriage is selfishness, self-centeredness. One of the worst destroyers is the bane of relationship, selfishness. Where the man, now let me tell you this funny story. One of the young men, while we were in the university, he said to me one day, he said, I don't like the kind of women that is when you want everything is them. They want you to love them. They want you to do this for them. Do this for me. Do this for me. Do that for me. I don't like such women. I said, what kind of women do you like? What kind of woman will look at me? He said, the one who will take care of me. The one who will look at, who will baby me. The one who will be to me like a mother. The one. Are you seeing Wahala? It's the same thing. It's the other way. I don't want the woman to say, look at me, look after me, take care of me, help me. I say, you have not said I love you today. You haven't done this. But I want the other, let it be the other way. I said, so you don't want her. You don't want her to demand love from you, but you want the opposite. That is the major challenge today. Welcome home from work, sir. How was work today? Everything went well. The man wants that. But he doesn't know that the woman also needs that. How are you, honey? Are you all right? You are looking somehow today. Did anybody offend you? Just me. There are people, their wife is with them in the house, and they want a woman almost died of a terminal disease. She was almost dead before the husband knew that this woman was dying. They are in the same house, he never knew. A strange woman was in the middle. And the woman, the husband said, you know what? I'm tired of this relationship. Very rich man. He said, you know what? All the property I have, anyone out of it you want, carry it. So that you can just leave me and go. So I can marry. I think it was his secretary or something he wanted to marry. And the woman said, I don't need any of the property. I need you. He said, no. It's over. Unknown to him at the time he was doing all these things, this woman was dying of a terminal disease. Finally, the woman said, you know what? I'm going to leave you. And I'm not going to take any of your properties. I want you to do only one thing for me. You know the way you carried me in your hand on our wedding day? I want you to carry me like that every day for 30 days. After you have finished doing that, I can go. When the woman, the first day the man carried his wife, she was weightless. Said, what is wrong? No weight. Second day, third day, fourth day, then the bond began to come back. By the time before he could finish, they were so bonded. But already, the woman had a few more days to live. The doctor told her, and she knew the number of days. That was how he gave the man the days to carry her. She didn't want to die with bitterness. She didn't want to die with unforgiveness. At the end, the man was ready to come back to his wife. And ready to love the wife back. But it was too late. He had few more days to live. That was how he hated the woman literally unto death. Because of stranger in his relationship. Am I communicating at all? Did you hear the point I just made? Be committed to the fulfillment. While you are interested in wanting your wife's focus, be interested in your wife's focus. Be interested in her attention as well. And vice versa. My husband hasn't said I love me today. Have you found out about your husband's work today? High seafaring. He's not in a mindset to say I love you to anybody. Because he was harassed in the office terribly. Because he's battling with performance. Because they have threatened that they will sack him and you are not aware. And you are not seeing things from his own perspective. And you want him to behave like a machine all the time. You know how many people want Hollywood and textbook kind of relationship. I'm entering the car. Open the door for me. And then close the door. When we land, come back again and open the door for me. He go, Ado. Impossible. Impossible. Because the man is a man. And under some circumstances, he's unable to function like that because of the pressures of life. So, be interested in the fulfillment and the satisfaction of the other person. And for those of you who are married, satisfaction and fulfillment must be mutual. Most men don't care about the feelings or the satisfaction of their wives. They don't care. When they come under pressure, they begin to pursue their wife like the he-goat used to do in the village. When he hold them, they will just be pursuing the wife. Like the he-goat used to do in the village. And then they got what they wanted. And left the poor woman frustrated, unfulfilled, unaccomplished, achieved nothing out of it. She felt like she was used like the prostitute or something. And this cycle repeats permanently. Who told you that it is only your right to satisfy yourself? Can I preach this kind of thing in church? Who told you that it is your right? Your right. That is your right. See, the way man behave, man, M-A-N, man. Everybody have the equality of that right. Everybody have the equality of that right. They say three things are major issues in marriage. Can I be as raw as it is, as they say it? It's money, it is power or influence, and it is intimacy. They call it raw, intimacy. Man and woman meeting, these three areas. If it can be overcome, where there is no struggle for who is more powerful, and money issues are handled, and then intimacy issues, then that marriage has a future. Somebody say amen. When we are in marriage class, for only married people, I will become more brutal. Go into more details. But let's keep the mind of young people safe. So that they don't begin to think about what they are not yet licensed to think about. What might be their reality in 5 years or 10 years, and then they are considering it now. That will be too much pressure on the mind. Am I communicating? Be committed. Be committed to the fulfillment. Be committed to the satisfaction of your spouse. Not just your fulfillment. This is wisdom that will save the home. This is wisdom that will guarantee a future. This is wisdom that will cause smile and cause a tension-free relationship. And I believe the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I have so many more to say today, but let me just see how I can go within the time we have. And I have 10 more minutes. Be committed. Number five. That was number five. And then let's go to number six. Number six, maintain trust at every cost. Maintain trust. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 24, he says, a man that will have friends must show himself friendly or show himself trustworthy. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Maintain trust. What is the meaning of this? Let your husband or your wife be able to trust you with information and trust you with their life. Trust you with information, trust you with their lives. And there are things that can happen that can affect trust. Many, many things, but let me just mention something like this. When a husband gives you his confidential information, secrets about his life, and things that you know, family secrets, and the next thing he is hearing it from your friends, and vice versa, It's an attack on trust. When contention arises between you and your husband, and you are using something in his life to insult him, and vice versa, you that say they drove you from secondary school because you stole. No wonder you can't even give me food money. You. Is it because I'm managing you? Tiff. This is something that happened that he didn't even tell any. Nobody is aware. Only you, he told. It becomes an insult matter. That is the end. Even if he is dying, he won't tell you. He will confide more in outsiders. Or something like, but are you really sure the person you call your father is your father? Trust is dead. Completely dead. And let me tell you, trust is the strength of relationship. Is the strength of relationship. Trust is the strength of relationship. When trust is dead, relationship is gone. Is the strength of relationship. Whether it is relationship that is leading to marriage, or relationship that is already a marriage relationship, trust is the strength of it. That was number 6. Right, let's go to number 7. After number 7, I have like 3 more. Maybe I'll just stop here. Number 7. Lubricate your relationship with joy and merriment. Lubricate your relationship. What does Proverbs 17:22 say? It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart. Lubricate your relationship with joy and merriment. There is nothing as good for a relationship like the sense of humor. Every man who is able to muster that sense of humor, or woman, find the ability to make your wife and children laugh, if possible. Enjoy the jokes of your wife if you cannot make jokes yourself. This is very, very healthy for relationships. Listen, I say lubricate. Because, you know, lubrication, when the bolt joint of vehicles, metal to metal, is becoming dry of lubrication, then it begins to make cracking sounds, and then it begins to become problematic. You lubricate it. When even the joint of the knees and all that is lacking in lubrication, the tension becomes so much. Say things. One day somebody was with us, I think in a car in the house, and he said, do you make your wife to laugh all the time? I said, well, most of the time. When we are together with children, even we have our chat group now. Group chat, where everybody, no matter where you are together. Some humorous things is going on. People are laughing and cracked up everywhere they are. And it is medicinal. It's therapeutic. There are people who have never joked with each other. I'll talk about that in the second service. Official husband. Just like the village type. You know how they used to do in our village? The man is walking in front. Wife is carrying yam and following behind. Mwakego, are you coming? They come. Carrying all the manner of load at the back, and the woman is walking in front. He is carrying no load. Just carrying stick. When they reach home, she will kill the chicken. The man will carry the drumstick, carry the breast area, and then give them the head, the neck, and then the leg that look like this for them to divide. Official husband. Guy, who told you that that is how man should be? No. Most of the things we saw when we were growing up with our parents is not correct. Absolutely, they are not correct. Most of the things we saw in the village, father and mother, is not correct. They are not. If you are following that approach, you are analog. Analog husband, analog wife. That is, people were laughing before you came home. When you arrive, they adjust themselves. Children just rush and start doing homework in a hurry. Homework that they were. In fact, there is no homework. Just went and sat on the table and carry pen. Official just arrived. Wife adjusts herself in a corner somewhere. Where is my food? On the table, sir. Is that all you will say? Can't you come and serve it yourself? I'm sorry, sir. What kind of tension is this? What is this? What is it? Where is it written? Don't laugh with your wife. Where is it written? If you laugh, you are not a man. Jesus, as manly as he was, Jesus wept. He could express emotion. There are men that are as emotionless as a stone. Wife is crying. It doesn't move them. Cry, wounds of this thing. Stop. Just calm down. Just finish the cry. Let's continue. No. You will never marry analog. If I say something now, it may cause problem at home. It's all right. I wanted you to find out from the man something, but no need. Right. Let it flow. Am I communicating at all? It will be better. You will be younger. And a Mary had doeth good like medicine. You will be younger. You will feel better. You will feel more lively. You will be happier with your life. Your potentials will explode. And you come to a point like David where you are just versatile all around. Telling you the truth. Lubricate your relationship with merriment. Lubricate it. Learn it. I went to the bookshop many times when I was buying Christian books. And I also got some 2 or 3 Christian humor books. Just to charge myself up first. And then to use it to charge people around me up where necessary. That good sense of humor. Quality humor, correct humor, clean humor. Not the type that They make and talk all manner of rubbish in the name of trying to make people laugh. And lying inside. One day I did go for road. And I can't say, sir, he didn't go for road anywhere. He saw nothing. Hallelujah. I prophesy upon somebody here today, a new day, a new beginning, a new season, new grace, new help, new mercy. You are believing that? Shout the loudest, say amen. Shout the loudest, say amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. Shout amen at the top of your voice. I think I'll stop here for today. Stand up on your feet, everybody. How many did we go? Seven. We're meant to do like 11 or 12. But we'll stop here. We'll continue another day. Lift up your hands and let's appreciate God. Appreciate Him, honor Him, adore Him. Father, we worship You. Father, we honor You. Father, we adore You. Blessed be Your name. Honor to Your name. Adoration to Your name. Glory to Your name. We worship You. We love You. We honor You. We adore You. Be glorified. Be honored. Be adored. Thank You, Master. Thank You, El Shaddai. Thank You, El Elyon. Thank You, Mekadesh. Thank You, Rofeka. We praise You. We honor You. We adore You. Lift your hands and lift your voice and give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the honor. Give the Lord the adoration. Father, we praise You. Father, we honor You. Zakoko bagadaga lagayada hasada. Leperete si koko lagayada da hasada. Leperete sete lede gagada da haso. Leperete si kalide gagada haza. Leperete si kalite prede gagada da ha. Leperete si da gagayada hazadosta. Lepereko shaka lagada hasadi. Leperete separata satula labaradasa. Jakala parata seta lakate kalanosha. Father, we give You the praise. Father, we give You the honor. Father, we give You the adoration. Father, we give You the worship. Thank You, Master, for Your word. Be Thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hands and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father, I receive the grace for marital wisdom. For relationship wisdom. I receive the grace to function in with relationship wisdom. I receive deliverance from every level and action of foolishness in relationship. I receive the grace to function with wisdom in relationship. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and speak. Wisdom to function in relationship. Relationship wisdom. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it's written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. There are anti-marital curses. There are things that make marriages not to work. That there are people, you know, they are fighting a battle. Nobody has ever married well in their family. No marriage ever succeeds. We are going to take authority over every such spell. Whether it's a current spell or a witchcraft spell. You know, if you have a good marriage, there are those who wish that it doesn't exist. Am I communicating? There are those who wish that it doesn't exist. For your information, there are those. You see, one day, a lady told the pastor's wife said, We are trusting God for your marriage. Something like for you to get married. She said, yes. God has already answered the prayer. Say, how? You say, I already know who I'm to marry. It's okay. Why don't we start the process so that you can get? He said, no, but he is not single. He said, also, how can you say he's not single and yet God has shown you who to marry? Do you know what she said? What if the wife died? So there are people wishing for somebody's wife to die so that they can marry the man. That will never be your portion. You are going to lift your voice and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every anti-marital curse, over every witchcraft, occulting and soulish prayers against my family, against my future, against my marital destiny. I declare, you curse, you satanic agenda, you satanic desire concerning my life, concerning my future, concerning my marital destiny, you are frustrated. Now, open your mouth and pray. Now. You are frustrated. You satanic agenda. You are frustrated. In Jesus' precious name. There are those who are not yet married, and you are trusting the Lord to get established. There are those who were married before, but are single again. And there are those whose marriages are not functioning well. All this category of people is, Lord, help me to do it well. Do it well means help me to find the right person and have a correct marriage. Do it well means help, Lord, resettle me. And as you resettle me, let the marriage function. Help me to do it well. For the third category of people means, Lord, my marriage must work. Lift your voice and say, Father, I come before you. I receive your grace, your help, and your mercy to do it well. I receive your grace, your help, and your mercy to do it well. I receive it now. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Help me to do it well. 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 Let us say, do it well. To do it well. To do it well. Help me, Lord. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, so shall it be. Lift the hands high up. I pray for you today. I pray for everyone here today. I pray for the help of God. I pray for the mercy of God. I pray for the grace of God. I pray for the capacity and ability to do it well. In the name of Jesus, I decree today, help for marriages, help for homes. The God who has helped us all these years, may you receive the same help. Everyone trusting God to be established in marriage in this season, God will show you the right person. In the name of Jesus, you will not end in the wrong relationships. You will not end in the wrong homes. Everybody who is already married and trusting God for the marriage to become better, I prophesy that your marriage wine shall be multiplied and renewed.
wisdom to function well is released upon you right now. In the name of Jesus. Everyone that is single again, may God give you the grace to do it well. May God give you the grace to find the right person. May God give you the grace to be established well. In the name of Jesus. Every battle in a marriage, battle like battle with sickness, of a child, sickness of a husband, or sickness of a wife, I declare that battle is over right now. Every battle with barrenness, I declare that battle is arrested. Every battle with poverty, empty-handedness, scarcity that has put the home under pressure, I prophesy the help of God upon your life now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, I call it done in Jesus' precious name. I heard that today is Father's Day. Now the days are so many. Mother's Day, plenty Father's Day. But we celebrate the fathers and celebrate the mothers that made the fathers possible. And I prophesy everyone trusting God for fruitfulness. What will make you become a mother and become a father, I declare is released upon you. Embargo is lifted from your life in Jesus' precious name. While we are in this position, before we lift up our material for impartation, while we are in this position, anywhere you are today, in need of surrender to Jesus, you want your sins forgiven, you want Jesus to be Lord over your life, quickly, pray this prayer after me. Remain standing, everyone. Remain standing and pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, louder, I am a sinner. Pray it louder. We are connected from all across the country. I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life, Jesus. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, and backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Those who pray that prayer, can I see your hand up? You pray that prayer, wave your hand, let me see. Excellent. Pick your Bibles and your bags and rush to the front here and let me pray for you. Give the Lord a big clap as they come forward. That's right. Take your seat, the rest of us. I live for you alone.
Only for you.
Every moment I'm away. One.
Have your way, Lord.
Two. Everybody sing. Give you my soul. I live for you alone.
I live for you alone.
Every moment of my way. Every moment of my way.
Have your way, Lord.
Sing it one more time. I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
I live for you alone. I live for you alone.
Every moment on my way, have your way, Lord. Sing it one more time. Keep coming.
I live for you alone. I live for you alone.
While they keep coming, I am asking for everyone here today who want the yoke broken, maybe a lifestyle, maybe a character trait, bondage to lying, to cheating, to duping, to masturbation, to pornography, bondage to anything, gambling, fraud, and you say, I'm tired, this thing has changed my life, I want the chain broken. Carry your Bibles and carry your bags. And quickly come forward at the count of five. God bless you. One. That's right. Two. Quickly come forward and let it be broken. Three.
I've made up my mind.
Four. I have made up my mind.
Goodbye, Lord.
Oh Lord, I have made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life.
the Lord a big clap of hand. Place your right hand on your chest and say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Say it louder. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray for you. I ask that the hold of sin be broken off your life. Grace to live for God be released upon you. In Jesus' name. God bless you.